The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. It's an emergency edition. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. Tom Brady, no longer with the New England Patriots. He announced on Tuesday morning, St. Patrick's Day, no less. It's Chris Long of the, formerly the Pats, points out that may be a hate crime in certain spots, that he is not coming back to the Patriots, joining us to break it down. Sully from Boston.
You know, he did it on St. Patrick's Day, where like all of Boston can't go to a bar and drink their sorrows away too, because we're all just stuck in our houses. So it's really just, it's just a double hitter.
Yeah, I like that. Double header. Tyler Sullivan of CBSSports.com. You've been killing it on your Patriots coverage. And so Tom Brady tweets out, and we were just talking about this before we started, but like, and by the way, follow, is it at Tyler Sullivan on Twitter?
Tyler Sully.
Tyler Sully on Twitter. That's right. That's how I realized that people call you Sully. So follow Sully on Twitter while we were live on a podcast last time. Tom Brady at 8:44 a.m. because I had just finished my first CBS Sports HQ hit, and you can watch Sully on HQ all throughout the week as well. And all of a sudden you see like Forever a Patriot pop up, and you're like, oh my God, Brady's coming back. Brady's back. He's back, Forever a Patriot. But of course, Forever a Patriot can mean many things. Namely, I will always be a Patriot in my heart, which is what he meant. And he wrote, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but to all my teammates, coaches, executives, and staff, Coach Belichick, RKK, Robert Kraft, and the Kraft family and the entire organization, I want to say thank you for the past 20 years of my life and the daily commitment to winning and creating a winning culture built on great values. I'm grateful for all that you have taught me. I've learned from everyone. You've all allowed me to maximize my potential, and that is all a player can ever hope for. Everything we have accomplished brings me great joy, and the lessons I have learned will carry on with me forever. And at this point, you're reading it, and you're like, okay, maybe he's not staying, because this sounds a lot like somebody who's walking out the door. I couldn't be the man I am today without the relationships you've allowed me to build with you. I've benefited from all you've given me. It's like, okay, Tom, all right, at this point, like, you know,
Well, that's the thing. You know, you see the Forever a Patriot. I get the push notification on my phone, and that's all you see is the caption of his tweet. Yep. Then you click the photo, and it's the paragraphs long, and you go, uh-oh. Usually, you know, if it was like, if he was coming back, he'd pull the Michael Jordan and just post, I'm back. The fact that it was super long, you're like, oh boy, this is not a good sign.
That's a great point. And then he posted on Instagram in two different photos. It took two different tweets and two different photos on Instagram, and he got them both out there at the same time. That's how you know he's not doing this himself, right? Mm-hmm. But he points out, I can't even find it. It's so ridiculous.
It's like at the bottom of like, I don't even know if it's this first or second one, cause it was
here it is. On the second one, I don't know what my football future holds, but it is time for me to open a new stage for my life and career. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I will always love you and what we have shared, a lifetime full of fun memories. I was reading it this morning, and like, honestly, I was on like my first half cup of coffee, and I was like, is he saying something in here?
It's hilarious that you don't know within the first, you know, clearly you didn't go to journalism school. You got to get to the point, hit the lead, and go. You know, you go through halfway through the paragraph, and it's like, I don't know. Is he retiring? Is he, you know, because it, you know, the Forever a Patriot thing was, to me, was the most misleading thing ever. I'm waking up, I'm like, oh, beautiful. Tom Brady's back. He's forever a Patriot. Well, no, apparently not. Apparently, it's forever is just a different term in his mind.
Yeah. And so the odds have changed, and I pointed out on CBS Sports HQ this morning, and I hope people are listening and watching because they could have jumped on it. The Buccaneers were 11-1 this morning on some offshore spots where you could have wagered on him. Now they are, I think FanDuel opened them back up at -250. We'll have the official William Hill odds that we run with, as soon as they get him up. It's a fluid situation though. The one thing we know, Sully, is that he's not coming back to the Patriots. So before we dive into where he could go, what Tom Brady will do with his future, you're a Boston guy. What does your heart tell you this morning?
It's crazy. I mean, I was just talking to Debo about it too, you know, before we jumped on here, and it was like, I'm not surprised because I was at Gillette Stadium when they were eliminated by the Tennessee Titans on Wild Card Weekend, and I even wrote a story for CBSSports.com. It felt like the end. It didn't just feel like the end of a season. It felt like something was ending. And I said on HQ that, you know, their season ends, whether it's the Saints or the Chargers. You have Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers, both sounding like they want to come back to their respective teams. Phillip Rivers kind of knew that it was the end of the road for him in Los Angeles. Drew Brees didn't know if he was going to retire at the time or not, but was like, hey, listen, I'm coming back to the New Orleans Saints if that's going to be the case. Tom Brady, when he was asked those same questions, it was, I don't know, we'll see what happens. Kind of kept everything open-ended, and just the vibe around there was – well, this actually could be the end here. And I know, you know, we've heard that since what, like 2014, that this is going to be the end of the New England Patriots. But this time there was no denying that something was going to change one way or another with that team.
Yeah. And by the way, Tom Brady's last throw as a Patriot, a pick six.
I know that stinks. I know. That's a tough one. That is a tough pill to swallow.
To a former Patriot, Logan Ryan, who then took it to the house and ended the game in the Tampa. You know, it was already over, but it did ruin.
He's a memorabilia right there. You know what I mean? Jeez. Yeah,
right. Tom Brady's last throw went to a former Patriots defensive back. Who could have seen this coming? All right. Well, let's get into where Tom Brady will go. We can't get, there's no reason to be sentimental because Tom Brady's not being sentimental about it. I think I said this on HQ, and I think that this is true, that Tom Brady doing this today obviously means that he met with the Patriots and he met with Bill Belichick. And it's very clear, and it should be, this has been reported everywhere, but this should be very clear. This is a Belichick-driven decision now, right? This is not Robert Kraft, because Robert Kraft could have stepped in and been like, hey, Tom, what do you need? We want you to be a Patriot for the rest of your career. This is Bill Belichick saying, look, Tom, here's what, you know, here's my number. Here's what you want. It ain't working, right?
And if you were a Patriots fan and you saw the news that it was going to be Bill Belichick kind of spearheading this Tom Brady free agency, that should have put your alarm bells on that, you know, that this could potentially be the outcome that we currently have here. Because throughout his career, it's been Robert Kraft that's negotiated all of these contracts for Tom Brady up until this point. Brady's one of the rare exceptions where it's not under Bill Belichick's jurisdiction for the most part when they discuss these contracts. So the fact that all of a sudden, going to be 43-year-old season, it's going to be Bill Belichick's decision, who famously gets rid of guys a year too early or 2 years early than a year late. It just felt like that was going to be a change in the tides here. And you know, there's a couple of reports. I believe it was Tom Curran recently, and I think Mike Reese even, ESPN
just,
had it too.
Just for the record, there is nothing better than someone from Boston saying Tom Curran's name. Will you say Tommy Curran? I love Tom Curran's my boy. I love Tommy.
It sounds
Tommy
like Curran? I'm saying Tommy. Like, Tommy Curran. Sounds like the guy at the end of the bar. He's just about to get kicked out.
And look, I mean, and I'm not knocking your Patriots coverage at all, but Tom Curran has been like, there is really nobody out there who covers Tom Brady like the way Tom Curran does, because as we
were plugged in, he was pretty much on it too. I was still in like elementary school when Brady was coming around. Yeah. But like, he was one of the first guys too that was, even when there was discussion of, you know, Drew Bledsoe or Tom Brady, you know, when he gets healthy, should he come back? He was very early on the Brady train. So you can tell that's obviously been rewarded, you know, tenfold for Tommy Curran. He's been great with his coverage. And he was saying that and reporting that there was a meeting last night between at least Kraft and Brady that was kind of basically just saying, you know, Brady saying his intentions of what was going to happen going forward. And, you know, kind of just as a grand scheme of things, I do think that this is not motivated by Brady being, you know, pissed off or anything like that.
Just really quickly before we move on, but like, Bob Kraft, Pat's owner, gave a statement to Mike Reese of ESPN. Yep. Tommy, everybody's Tommy. Everybody's Tommy. Tommy. Yeah, it's Tommy. Tommy initiated contact last night and came over. We had a positive, respectful discussion. It's not the way I want it to end, but I want him to do what is in his best personal interest. After 20 years with us, he has earned that right. I love him like a son. What about the quarantine guys? What are you doing going to Bob Kraft's house?
Especially when Brady's out here going to Costa Rica, traveling around. I mean, Kraft's an old man. Come on now, Tom. You're going to kill him by telling him that you're not going to stay with the Patriots, and you're going to give him Corona.
You weaken his heart, then you give him Corona? What is this nonsense? We kid. Not that Corona is a joking matter, but you get the point. But to your point, like, so it does feel like, you know, when that Seth Wickersham article came out in, I think it was like 2015, maybe, the Don Van Natta Seth Wickersham article about the turmoil within the Patriots, you know, it felt like a situation where, it was very believable before they traded Jimmy Garoppolo. And then the Patriots going on, win a bunch of games, and you're like, all right, this is washed away. They're going to ride it out. Now it does feel like there's a little bit of animosity here, as I think you were pointing out, right, Sully?
Well, that's kind of what it is. And I don't even know if it, you know, it could originate with the Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, you know, with the Jimmy Garoppolo draft, because if you remember, you know, you go back to that draft, Belichick was quick to point out at that point, Brady's age and contract situation was the driving motivation for them to spend a second round pick on Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that rubbed him the wrong way. And I mean, you can look at it from the numbers wise too. His numbers, I believe it was completion percentage, was dipping like for four straight years. And then all of a sudden they draft Jimmy Garoppolo, comes back more motivated. All those numbers start to go up. They go up and, you know, go on a nice little late dynasty run there, win a couple of Super Bowls. So, you know, that's probably part of where the frustrations originated. But I do think that there's something to be said for how these negotiations went down. We heard the Boston Herald report that, you know, they had a conversation, Belichick and Brady, and things, quote unquote, did not go well. And it feels like the Patriots were kind of, you know, almost calling Brady's bluff to a degree. Like, are you going to go to Tampa? Are you really going to go to Tampa? We're going to give you a blah, blah, blah deal that's, you know, chump change or basically what you've been making throughout the course of your career. And Brady kind of just said, screw it. I'll see what's out there. And I bet you he was more wooed in these past 24 hours than he has in the past like 5 years with the New England Patriots, which is probably something that came up in his conversation with Kraft.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it also does feel like Tom Brady in his pursuit of his next landing spot is, I mean, look, I don't want to question Tom Brady's motivations. He has played with a chip on his shoulder like nobody else in the history of sports, really, outside of maybe Michael Jordan. He's the greatest, maybe the greatest football player of all time, definitely the greatest quarterback of all time. But it does feel like right now, like, to me, if his single-minded pursuit was winning a Super Bowl, he would do what he's done so many times and take less money from the Patriots and come back and do that. It does feel like there's a chance that Tom Brady has more in his interest. Like, he wants to go and build his brand. He wants, like, I mean, he's dropping this on social media. Like, you know, a few years ago, I think it was, you know, like a Peter King column where he mentioned that he was coming back, or like, you know, Bob Kraft gave the scoop to Peter King, et cetera, et cetera. Like, you definitely feel like wherever he goes next, it's going to drop on a Facebook, like it's something with 199 Productions. It's going to involve his outer interest. It's going to be like, or like, you know, you find out in a TB12, like diet box, lucky ticket or something like that. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why I think it's going to be fascinating to see where he goes next, because I think if he signs with the Los Angeles Chargers, that very much is suggesting that he's also making this move for his post-NFL career, because he obviously has that, you know, the 199 production studios. All of a sudden you get the TB12 method in a big market like Los Angeles, you know, the health nuts over there, like they would eat that stuff up like avocado ice cream all day. So like, that to me would be something that would, you know, that's interesting. If he goes to Tampa, I don't know if we can still say that. Like, you know, do you really, Tampa, like selling all that stuff?
Tampa feels like a football decision. Tampa feels right. Like, I'm in with Bruce Arians, who's a very Bill Belichick type of coach. I mean, like, they're not very different in the way that they approach things. You know, they're, one's a little funnier and more public and open and honest, but like, That's a football guy's coach. It is worth, I'll ask you this. Do you think it's worth noting that in his statement, he wrote, my children were born and raised here, and you always embraced this California kid as your own?
Oh, interesting. Well, I mean, listen, it would make a lot of sense for Tom Brady. You know, he's going to be what? You know, 43 years old by the start of next season. He said 45. I mean, if you're like I just said, if you're talking about setting things up in the next 3 years, 2 to 3 years, Los Angeles, the California kid goes home, that's the play. I mean, I think that that's why the San Francisco 49ers were floated out there. I don't think that was floated out by anybody other than the Tom Brady camp. I think in a perfect world, Jimmy Garoppolo just says, listen, you know, or the 49ers say, hey, listen, we're going to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. Patriots take him back and Brady goes home to actually be the California kid and be that guy and help them go to Super Bowls and call it a career. But that's not going to happen. I think maybe Los Angeles makes a lot of sense in that degree. But like you said, football decision, Tampa Bay makes a lot of sense to me. You're going to put up ridiculous numbers. You're probably not going to throw 30 interceptions like Jameis Winston, but you might throw for 5,000 yards when you have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and O.J. Howard. So to me, it's going to be fascinating to see how this goes down. I think the NFC would probably be his best move. You know, get away from Patrick Mahomes and for at least, you know, the AFC, but we'll have to see.
All right. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will tell you a couple of factors that will play a role in where Tom Brady signs next.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So, Tyler Sullivan on the Pick Six podcast here. See, this is what happens. Debo gets me to tease. I start teasing, and now I'm like doing radio crap at the end, like after an ad break. I'm like, joining us again, Tyler Sullivan, still here. Like you know, because you have to reset every.
Right.
It drives me nuts when radio guys do that. I understand why, because you're constantly changing whether you're on or not. But it's like, it's so anti-conversational.
You're also just like, you know, got a couple phone lines lighting up, still can catch your spot. Like they really, like, really hammer it home.
Sports.com joining us. It's like, look, we're doing a 30-minute podcast or a 20-minute podcast, whatever it is. Anyway, so, Tom Brady gone. His next spot will, you know, there's going to be a discussion of Brady and Belichick legacy, but let's focus in on where he might go. Here, the Bucks and Chargers are the two favorites right now.
Clear 1-2.
Okay, right. Buccaneers are the clear one. Do you think it's 1A, 1B, or 1-2?
I think it's 1A, 1B. I think the Bucks are probably putting in the most love right now, but I do think Hollywood has its appeal too.
All right, so let me ask you this. If we took the Buccaneers roster and coaching staff and put them in Los Angeles, this is over, right?
Oh, yeah. We would have – this long social media post and all that, that would have happened like last Sunday, even though the legal tampering period just started on Monday. Like, we would have known this so quickly.
Yeah,
it's just the fact of it.
Tom Pelissero, Tom Curran had initially reported, I do not expect any additional Brady news today. He said that on Tuesday morning. That makes sense. Tom Brady is not, you know, he can sign. You know, I guess Tom Brady's not a free agent until 4 p.m. So,
right.
I thought his contract voided at 4 p.m. on Wednesday. Maybe it voids today. Am I wrong?
Yeah, Schefter he had that tweet that it was, you know, the voided years that were remaining on Brady's contract were void today. Like, they dissolved today. But I don't know if that's necessarily, you know, is that bookkeeping? Is that something to do with the salary cap or whatever it may be? I know there's a $13.5 million hit that hits at the start of the league year when Brady doesn't re-sign. But like, I don't necessarily know what that means going forward.
Yeah, Schefter tweeted out at 7:45 a.m. just a formality, but the final 2 years on Tom Brady's contract officially void today. I look. Adam Schefter's plugged in as it gets. Everybody knows that. I'm not sure how that math would work though, because then you would have once the year's void, the dead cap accelerates.
Right. So to me,
once a year's void, he's an official free agent, which means the Patriots can't do an extension. And that's sort of why the deadline was 4 p.m. on Wednesday. Anyway, it doesn't matter because he's not going back to the Patriots. They will have a $13.5 million cap hit. Right. But if his contract has indeed voided already, once it voids, he is able to negotiate with other teams and come to a terms of agreement. I don't think we'll see anything until after Wednesday at 4 p.m. anyway.
No, because I think that this is, you know, this is another little subplot here. I mean, we just have been talking about the Chargers and the Buccaneers as like the clear-cut favorites to sign Tom Brady. But I do think that, you know, there are still teams out there that could use a quarterback like Tom Brady. And is this this, you know, big grand announcement by Brady, a clear cut sign. Listen, he didn't just come out with a bye New England, hello, new destination. He just said goodbye New England. So is this a message from Tom Brady and his representation where, like, reportedly his market wasn't that robust? You know, it really does feel like it was just the Bucs and the Chargers right now. Is this a signal to the rest of the league? Hey guys, I'm actually leaving the New England Patriots. Like, I am not going back. I have shut that door. Come get me. So Jeremy, that to me is something that we have to look at.
No, Jeremy St. Louis and I talked about this on HQ on Tuesday morning. I agree completely. That was my stance. It's like, this is Tom Brady putting out the vibe. Cause look, if you're a team, if you're the Las Vegas Raiders or you're the Indianapolis Colts and you are interested in Tom Brady, and I think both teams are interested in Tom Brady because he's Tom effing Brady. You can't viably chase after him and then have him just flip around and go back to New England and make you look like a moron. And you, like, if you're the Colts, you lose out on Phillip Rivers. If you're the Raiders, maybe you damage the relationship with, Derek Carr. Not that it's, you know, the end of the world, but like, you know, I mean, he seems like an emotional guy who might be, upset. The Patriots.
Well, especially if you're the Colts, they're like, wow, we're really going to get burned by the Patriots twice. We wanted a head coach in Josh McDaniels. Robert Kraft comes in at the 11th hour or, you know, 12:01 and brings them back. Like, you know, they're not going to get burned again. If they want Tom Brady and all of a sudden it's like he goes back to New England and says, hey, the Colts are offering me this. Like, they don't want to get in that situation where they're snatching him and the rug's getting pulled out from under him. This is, to me, yes, there might be some clear leaders with the Bucs and the Chargers, and those two destinations make a lot of sense. But I do think that Brady and his camp want to put it out there. Hey, we're definitely leaving New England. Like, don't worry. New England's not going to come in at the last second and bring me back. So make your best offer. Come to the table, whether you are the Raiders or the Colts or whoever.
And by the way, perfect segue, because the Patriots literally 1 minute ago, as we're recording this, tweeted out statements from Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick. I think Belichick's Kraft we sort of heard about. Belichick's, I think, is interesting.
Is it one sentence?
No, it's actually this lengthy, like, very.
Oh, good. All right.
Yeah. So it's not like smell you later, Tom. Tom or Tom is great. I'm going to jump to the second paragraph because, Well, actually, you know, I'm not. Here's this opening says, Tom was not just a player who bought into our program. He was one of its original creators. Tom lived and perpetuated our culture. On a daily basis, he was a tone setter and a bar raiser. He won championships in 3 of his first 4 years on the field and in 3 of his final 6 seasons with us while competing for championships in most every season in between. And this is a credit to Tom's consistency and what separates him. He didn't just perform. He didn't just win. He won championships over and over again. Tom and I will always have a great relationship built on love, admiration, respect, and appreciation. Tom's success as a player and his character as a person are exceptional. Nothing about the end of Tom's Patriots career changes how unfathomably spectacular it was. With his relentless competitiveness and longevity, he earned everyone's adoration and will be celebrated forever. It has been a privilege to coach Tom Brady for 20 years. And he goes on for another 2 paragraphs. Before adding at the end, sometimes in life, it takes time to pass before truly appreciating something or someone, but that has not been the case with Tom. He is a special person and the greatest quarterback of all time.
Well, I think that last point's pretty, you know, poignant when you think of, you know, obviously we're talking about, like, you know, is there a rift between Belichick and Brady? And, you know, sure, maybe, you know, Belichick from a football GM, football leader wants to go in a different direction, but, like, you know, we've seen it before. Belichick does speak glowingly of former players. Like, he will never really put one guy that's currently on the 53-man roster above the team, and that includes Tom Brady. But, like, when they are gone, he showers them, whether it's Vince Wilfork, Teddy Bruschi, Mike Vrabel. Like, he is all about those former Patriots. So it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, and you're seeing it right now, showering with praise, calling him one of the greatest.
Yeah. Robert Kraft, by the way, added, I love Tom like a son and I always will. He has brought so much happiness to me personally and to all of our fans. I'd hope this day would never come, but rather that Tom would end his remarkable career in a Patriots uniform after yet another Super Bowl championship. Unfortunately, the two sides were unable to reach an agreement to allow that dream to become a reality. Now that is interesting too, because Robert Kraft says the two sides.
Right.
It's not a plural,
Wheat.
It's the two sides. In other words, he did turn it over to Bill Belichick. And let me ask you this, Sully, before we go back to Brady's possible landing spots. Do you think that's the right move? Should Robert Kraft have stepped in and kept Tom Brady in place, or should he have trusted Bill Belichick to usher the program into a new era? I would side with Belichick personally, but that's an objective third party standpoint, you know.
I don't think he should have stepped in. You know, I think that would have been a mistake for a couple of reasons, but the biggest one would be, it would clearly, you know, the message would be out there that Bill Belichick wanted to move on from Tom Brady, but all of a sudden their forced marriage to continue going forward. Brady knows that he's unwanted. Like, that just creates even more animosity between the two. If there's, you know, a ton to begin with, who knows, really? So to me, that wouldn't really work. And then all of a sudden you piss off Bill Belichick, and who knows? Maybe you sour the entire thing after 20 years of success. That's also the case, because Bill Belichick, you know, and Kraft knows this. Like, he's the guy that Bill Parcells was, hey, listen, if I'm going to cook the meal, I want to shop for the groceries line. You know, he knows this. He's learned from those mistakes, and he's let Bill Belichick pretty much operate how he sees fit throughout his entire career. So to come in now and all of a sudden do that, Bill Belichick's, you know, late 60s, almost 70 years old. He doesn't need an owner all of a sudden after 20 years of leading the team to multiple championships and multiple playoff runs and really turning it into a multi-billion-dollar franchise to all of a sudden start poking on his shoulder saying, hey, do this, do that. Like, Bill Belichick's too old for that. He doesn't need that. He can just go somewhere else, pull a Tom Coughlin, and just run an organization up top. So to me, it wouldn't make a lot of sense if all of a sudden he's dictating what Brady and Belichick have to do.
Yeah. All right. So landing spots, I think I'm with you. I think 1A and 1B for Tom Brady is Tampa Bay and Los Angeles. But as we were saying right before reading those statements, you know, this does with the Colts and the Raiders, I think, say, hey, look, like, you might have been worried about chasing after me, because we mentioned this a few times. When Peyton Manning was a free agent and the Cardinals and the Titans and a few other teams chased after Peyton Manning, it really caused them to go down a dark yeah. You know, a dark timeline in terms of the quarterback situation, because they missed out on Manning. They ended up with Kevin Cobb, and did the Titans had like start Charlie Whitehurst that year? I don't even remember, but
it was a dark time.
But yeah, that's the point. Is like, if you're the Colts, you can't risk missing out on Phillip Rivers. Like, it's clear they traded for DeForest Buckner. They traded their first round pick for Buckner, gave him $21 million. They're going in on this year. So you can't miss out on Phillip Rivers because you go on a wild goose chase for Tom Brady. I think the Raiders and the Colts are in play. Do you think a team like the Bears with not much salary cap space are in play? What about the Dolphins? I mean,
that was the team I was going to bring up, is the Dolphins, because, as we just were saying, like, you know, there's no bad blood, whatever between Brady and the Patriots, but like, who doesn't want to see them play twice a year and duke it out for the division? Like, that would be the ultimate theater in, you know, that the NFL has pretty much ever seen in one single division. So, you know, that would be fun. And all of a sudden you do see the likes of, you know, Byron Jones coming, Kyle Van Noy. There's a relationship there with Brian Flores, former de facto defensive coordinator. Like, and we say, you know, with Brian Flores, I don't want to diminish it that way either, because, you know, we say, oh, he's the de facto defensive coordinator. He was there since like 2000. Like, he's been there for a long time, rose through the ranks in the coaching staff, mostly on the defensive side. Like, it's not like he was there for like 3 years as like a linebackers coach and then, you know, was starting calling defensive plays. Like,
2004, he was a scouting assistant. I mean, that's a really long, he was with the Patriots for 15 years. Like, he was with the Patriots for three years less than Tom Brady, or 4 years less than Tom Brady in totality, which, I mean, that means he's worked with Tom Brady a lot.
Yeah. And again, it's defensive coach and all that. Like, I get it. There's a difference, but like, there's clearly some familiarity at the very least between those two sides. They have a ton of cap space. You know, what better way? Like, you know, if you are the Dolphins and you are really into Tua, like, who wouldn't want to bring Tom Brady for 2 years, compete, let Tua learn behind Tom Brady, and first up, rest up and heal up that hip? Like, it would make a lot of sense when you think about it that way, if you're really thinking about bringing up Tua. Like, you bring Tom Brady for a couple of years, you really build up some hype, and then you usher in this new era after he just learned from the greatest quarterback of all time. Like, that would be a very interesting scenario. Now, does it happen? Like, who knows? But like, that, if we're playing fantasy football, we want, you know, for us in our business, like, we want to write about something, there's no better way.
Brady versus the Pats twice a year would be incredible. And by the way, like, if we took Tampa's roster, Tampa's coaching staff, everything about Tampa, and moved it to Miami, it's probably a done deal, because that's a TB12 like landing spot too, where you got the avocados and all of that. I think
Giselle would like living there too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's it. Like, is Giselle moving to Indy?
I don't think so. And I don't think she's moving to Tampa. Like, I think, yeah. I think,
by the way,
know, Los Angeles makes a lot of sense.
Jeff Darlington of ESPN, who, to his full credit, has been calling Brady leaving for months.
And not like, only called it, but just like was putting exclamation points on it too. He was plugged in. He knew it.
Yeah, he knew it. He wrote four factors. He tweeted this: four factors to consider when thinking about Brady's next spot: a collaborative coach, a well-built roster, even if not perceived as a clear Super Bowl favorite, good weather, and favorable proximity to NYC, New York City, for personal reasons. Don't use any of those to cross teams off the list. I think that that screams Miami. Like, Miami to New York is not a fast flight. But
no.
Like, if you're, he's gonna be flying wheels up or whatever. Like, you know, he's PJ. He's not flying.
Listen, whatever team probably signs him, they'll give him a private jet. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
but exactly. Like he can get from Miami to New York and probably be door to door in 3 hours. And that's I'm not a private jet enthusiast, but I mean, like, I would guess that's a pretty good bet. There is good weather. They are not perceived as a Super Bowl favorite. And clearly a collaborative coach. I don't know. I mean, I think Los Angeles probably fits in there as well, even though they're considered I don't know if they're considered a Super Bowl favorite without Tom Brady. I mean, they'd still be a top team. And Tampa, too.
Maybe not perceived. Well, it was like not perceived to be a Super Bowl team, but like, you know, because they just weren't that great with Phillip Rivers last year. Sorry to dump on your boy, but like. Like, maybe that is, you know, maybe that's the case. I think the Chargers.
Your boy when he signs with the Pats.
That's true. You know, it could be.
Pats fans will hate that. But, like, Pats fans would grow to love Phillip Rivers so much.
Like, oh, yeah.
He's so obnoxious when he's on your team, you love him like nothing else. And when he's not on your team, you don't care for him.
Well, not only that, but like whoever gets the seal of approval from Bill Belichick, like it's going to be an easy fix. Like, you know, whoever he taps to be the guy, they'll be like, all right, and Bill Ray Trust, here we go, load it up. Whether it's Stidham, it could be, you know, Cody Kessler, they could trade for Mitch Trubisky, and they'd be like, oh, all right, we'll see what happens. All right, Bill.
I said it on HQ, like if Bill Belichick goes out and spends $30 million a year on Jameis Winston, like everybody will pee their pants and be like, oh my God, Jameis, like, they've just been misusing him. Like, he's going to be incredible in Tampa Bay. Like, I mean, in New England. That's how it works. How would you handicap the race to replace Brady? I think we covered all Brady's possible landing spots, right? Is there a wild card team we're not thinking about?
I think the Dolphins is probably the one, right? Like, I think that would make the most sense, or at least the biggest wild card of the bunch.
Maybe the Bears.
Maybe the Bears. I don't know about the cap space.
The cap space is a disaster. The weather is terrible. You know, I mean, like if you're Tom Brady, you've been playing for 20 years in Foxborough. Are you really going to go play in Chicago when you're 43?
And are the weapons really like that spectacular? Allen Robinson's great. Like, but you really Jimmy Graham would have been great like 10 years ago. But that you know, that's not anything to write home about. So I think the Dolphins
wasted money on Jimmy Graham to like sign Tom Brady. So I would say that's a long shot. The Lions, I would just throw out the Lions as like, I know that's a real, real long shot because they had Matthew Stafford under contract. But like, if you sign Tom Brady and trade Matthew Stafford to, I don't know, New England or like it, just because of the connection, I don't think it's that crazy. I think anywhere that has those Patriots connections that doesn't have, you know, a quarterback they just signed, like the Titans could
be. Right. I was going to say that was why Tennessee was so talked about because of Vrabel and all that. So
you almost wonder if like Tennessee's like, man, I wish you'd tweeted that note out like 2 days ago, bro.
Well, that could have been the learning experience. You know, that could be why, like we were saying, he's putting it out there like, hey, no ifs, ands, or buts. I am not going back to the New England Patriots because there are teams like the Tennessee Titans that, hey, listen, we have to figure out our quarterback situation. If we let Ryan Tannehill hit the market, like somebody's going to go pick him up. He was just, you know, in the AFC Championship game with us. So, you know, maybe that's a learning experience there for him. And that's why he did what he did.
All right. So how would you handicap the race to replace Tom Brady in New England?
Well, it's really interesting because they don't really have that much cap space. I mean, like, you're talking about, you just put Joe Tooney for the franchise tag. We got to figure out what they're doing with him, whether they're going to trade him, sign him to a long-term extension. I mean, there was a release when they announced that he was being franchise tagged that the goal is to have a long-term extension. But you never know. It's lying season with all of these teams. So they could just trade him. You know, they could do whatever they want.
They could trade him to the team that signs Tom Brady.
Exactly. Like, you know, they could go multiple ways with that. But I mean, you brought back Matthew Slater, you brought back Devin McCourty at pretty good money. Like, you're starting to run out of cap space here. I don't know what the exact number is, but like, you would have been able to, you know, they weren't offering Tom Brady a ton of money because First off, they don't even have it. Now that he's gone, you have a $13.5 million cap hit that's just going to be sitting there that you can't spend on. So I'm almost sitting here wondering, like, you know, I thought Marcus Mariota would have made a lot of sense because he probably would have came cheap. He would have been a guy that, you know, could have, you know, somewhat worked in their system. Like, that would have made a lot of sense to me, but now he's in Las Vegas. So I'm almost sitting here wondering, like, are they going to go with Jared Stidham? Like, is this really going to be the case here? Like, you know, you heard great things about him over the course of the preseason, over the course of the year, because if you remember, he took a lot of those first team reps because Tom Brady was kind of dinged up towards the end of the regular season. So there was some positive, you know, talk, whether it's, you know, coach speak or whatever, about him over the course of the end of the regular season. He did throw that pick six that's kind of, you know, put a bad taste in your mouth when you see him in the regular season. I think it was against the Jets or whatever, whoever it was. But, you know, could it be Stidham? Could it be a guy like Teddy Bridgewater? I think if I'm going to pick, it would probably be Teddy Bridgewater. Like, I think he makes the most sense. What is the most likely? It sounds like maybe Andy Dalton's the guy that comes up the most, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure does. I'll tell you this. Stephen O of Sportsline.com ran some Brady replacement scenarios. And this is really, I find this really fascinating. So with Tom Brady, he has the Patriots at 10.1 wins and a 63.1% chance I don't even know what the win percentage is. To a 56.9% chance to win the division, 76.9% chance to make the playoffs, 3.4% chance to win the Super Bowl. With Teddy Bridgewater, the numbers actually go up from Tom Brady. From 10.1 to 10.5, 64.5% chance to win the division, 9.1% or 82.7% chance to make the playoffs, 4% chance to make the championship. Jameis Winston is about even with Tom Brady, 10 wins on average. And then Andy Dalton is 9.9. Dalton does feel, I mean, like Peter King, who's very tight, like has been covering, you know, he covered the Giants way back in the day, has known Belichick for years, keeps pointing out that Andy Dalton is a Belichick guy. And it does make sense. Like, he's a hardworking blue collar dude who will come in and, you know, will help. You can put weapons around him to help him improve, right? I mean, that's sort of the situation.
And he's been the name, I think, that, you know, as much as we talk about, like, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, like Andy Dalton's name, as you were saying, it's not even just like Peter King, whoever. Like, there are a lot of people talking about Andy Dalton and pairing those two together. So, and, you know, he's going to come cheap because Cincinnati is just trying to get him out of here and usher the way in for Joe Burrow. And, you know, you guys have talked about this on the Pick Six Pod a lot. Like, they're going to put him in a good scenario for the sole fact of making Joe Burrow feel good going to Cincinnati. Like, listen, we take care of our quarterbacks. Look, you know, we have you. We're going to send our next guy to New England. Like, we didn't send him to Siberia. We put him in one of the best organizations in the NFL. So there's emphasis on both sides. And I just wonder, you know, well, does that produce Super Bowls? Like, you know, I think Teddy Bridgewater makes a little bit more sense, or at least there's a higher ceiling there with Teddy Bridgewater. But it does feel like if we're handicapping it, it does feel like if they're going outside of the organization, Andy Dalton, it should be the favorite.
All right. Andy Dalton. I think I would put Teddy Bridgewater there. And I do agree with you that, you know, look, it's fun to say Jared Stidham's the guy. 2019 fourth round pick. It's not like this was a full Garoppolo
exactly.
Situation where he's a second round pick and he's been sitting there for, you know, 3 or 4 years and learning, and the expectation is he takes over.
I can throw another one at you.
Yeah.
Watch out for your boy, Jacoby Brissett.
That might be
someone, again, you know, it's not a second round pick, but it's a former third round pick. He has a lot of starting experience in the NFL. Listen, he's not prolific by any stretch of the imagination, but he was able to win games for the Indianapolis Colts last season. I wonder if they go back to the well there, especially if they go after, you know, the Colts do, if they go get Phillip Rivers, and all of a sudden you have a guy like Jacoby Brissett, who's pretty cheap, if I'm correct. You know, his cap hit isn't anything super crazy. Like, that's a guy that makes a lot of sense. Like, let's just say you believe in Stidham, but you don't want to throw him into the Lions then right away. That makes a lot of sense to bring in Jacoby Brissett. Knows the system, knows the offense. You know, nothing's really changed from the time he was with the New England Patriots to now. Josh McDaniels is still here. Belichick's still here. That one makes a lot of sense because they do go with familiarity a lot.
All right. Man, what a time to be alive. Sully, thanks for popping on. I know that we took you away from the work that you would otherwise be doing for CBSSports.com and CBS Sports HQ, but appreciate you hanging out, banging out the Tom Brady pod, and I'm sure we will talk to you again very soon, buddy.
But I'm good.
that you ever set foot outside of the Motown, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.